Move to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 23. 1 Samuel 23. And here we are with David again. We're going to be studying a lot about David because David becomes the king one day, and Jesus will sit on his father David's throne one day. And how you figure all those things together, I'm just going to say, hey, God has it all worked out. But here we are, 1 Samuel 23. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floor. That'll fire you up. They're getting the food, they're getting the groceries, they're taking away their substance. And he gets told this thing. He says, the Philistines are attacking or fighting against Keilah, and somebody sent messengers to David, because I guess he was pretty close at hand, pretty well around the corner maybe, thereabouts. Keilah being in the outskirts of Judah, near the edge, near the Philistines, so they could probably sneak in there, rob it, whoop them real quick, and jump back out. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. Now, he's talking to the prophet right now. He's talking to the Lord. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? Because you got to understand, David was not the king. David was not in charge of Israel. David was just a soldier on the run or a guy on the run. And so he's going to say, before I go up and assert my authority and act like I'm a somebody, when I'm a nobody still, he said, let me inquire of the Lord. Let me find out from God, should I go help these people out? He says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite the Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. In other words, the Lord says, yeah, go smite them. That's all he gave him. Go smite them. So David's men say, let's check the next verse. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid. Now you got to figure he's not but about 600 guys. We don't know how big the Philistine army is, but it's probably a pile of them. Now Keilah is a fortress city. It's got bars and gates and all around it. It's protected. But the men sitting here saying, first of all, if we run over there and help Keilah, we're going to be fighting with the Philistines, but we're also a possibility that Saul could come up behind us, and here we'll be trapped between the Philistines and Saul. This is not a good place, David. Are you sure that you're supposed to be going to Keilah? Are you sure we need to go fight against Keilah? And the men said, behold, we be afraid in here in Judah. They're in their own home country. They're afraid. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines right on the edge there? And so David says to himself, he says, inquire of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, and I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. So he says, guys, I have a sure word. God has said, you go and smite them. He also says, you go and arise, and I will deliver them into your hands. It's not that you're just going to smite them and you're all going to get whipped. I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to lay them in your hand. They're yours. And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, and brought away the cattle, and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And you think that inhabitants of Keilah would be going, yay, David, hallelujah, praise God. And they may have there for a little while. They might say, wow, David has come and rescued us. And he smoked these guys. And he whipped them bad, and he took all their cattle. Well, they're not going to be hungry for a while. He says, and he took the cattle, and he saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass. Now, this is last time we talked about Abathar had came to talk to David, but he doesn't actually get to David until right now and tells him the story about what happened to all the priests. And it came to pass that when Abathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. Now, we're not talking about any ephod. We're not talking about just the linen garment that your ordinary priest, but he came with the Urim and the Thummim. So he had the breastplate, and he had all the crown and all that stuff with him. Just so happened when he ran, he just nonchalantly grabbed up all the important stuff. Because now, Abiathar is now the high priest. All the rest of the priests are dead, which makes him, his father's dead, who was the high priest. Now that makes him the high priest. And he's running from Saul also. So God's high priest is running from Saul, David's running from Saul, and they're all at Keilah whooping Philistines. And it came to pass that when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, he came down with the ephod in his hand, and he told, and it was told Saul, that David was come to Keilah. There's that, you can't do nothing without somebody telling you stuff. Have you got this yet? I don't care what you do, there's always somebody going to tell somebody what's happening. Yeah. Now, I don't know how far Keilah was from where Saul was parked up under a tree somewhere, but the surest thing is somebody ran from where he was to Keilah, came back to where Saul was and says, "Hey, guess what, Saul? I know where David's at. I know where the boy is. You can get him right now. He's probably wore out, tired, sitting around, resting." Let me tell you something. It was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And look at Saul here. We know that Saul just killed a whole bunch of priests. Can you imagine him saying what he's fixing to say? He just killed all of God's priests. And Saul said, "God hath delivered him into my hand." Really? I mean, could you really understand that thought? I just killed all of God's anointed men. I just wiped out this whole city in the last chapter where they stayed and where the tabernacle was and where everything was set up. I just sent and killed every one of them, and God hath delivered David into my hands. Come on, man. "For he is shut up by entering into a town that hath gates and bars." Now, if you remember when he becomes king and Absalom's after him, he runs out of Jerusalem because they know that he's a fighting man and he won't be caught shut up in a town that has gates and bars. And so he runs out into the wilderness. David has strategy of not being hemmed up, not taking comfort in walls of stone that eventually could be pulled down, burnt down, or whatever. So it says here, "I have him." Boy, if he stays at Keilah, if he sits there and joys in the battle victories and all that, hangs around a few days, "I've got him shut up. The God has delivered him into mine hand by entering into a town that has gates and bars." He's all shut up. And Saul called all the people together to war and to go down to Keilah and besiege David and his men. Now, he probably told his men, says, "Look, we're going to go fight the Philistines." But in the back of his mind, he's sitting there, "But David's there. We're going to get these guys all pumped up to follow me. We're going to tell them we're going down there to save Keilah. But technically, I'm going down there to hem up David." You know, Saul's a tricky, sneaky feller. He don't never tell you everything that's on his mind. So he says here that I and my men, he calls them all together. He gets the men of war together. I don't know how many men he got together to besiege David and his men. Now, you got to figure Saul probably had 2,000 or 3,000 guys against 600. That's a pretty short battle right there. Of course, we don't know how many Philistines David just whipped, but there's probably a few of those. And David knew. David has this intuition. David has this eyes in the back of his head thing that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. You just can't get over it when somebody throws a javelin at you 2 different times, 3 different times. When somebody's always trying to kill you when you ain't paying attention, when they send their whole country out to get you when you're up praying, you say he knew he secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar, the priest, "Bring hither the ephod. And he didn't say bring it here so he could put it on. That wasn't the case. And you know, when you read it, it's like, "Bring me the ephod." No, he didn't bring it so he could put it on. He brought it for the priest to put on so that when he prayed to God that he would get a message from God. So he said, "Bring the ephod." Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, He recognizes who he is. He recognizes the power he has. He says, O Lord God of Israel, thy servants have certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. He's explaining to God what's going on. He explains to God what he knows is going on. Even though God already been God, omnipotent, omnipresent, all those omnis, he knows what's happening already. He knows the future. He knows the beginning from the ending. He says, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Now, Keilah is a city of Judah. Now, you would think that Saul would have said, throw him out, and everything would be good. And that may have been what he might have done. But he says, even if it means this, if you protect David, we're going to wipe this city out. Even though you're a city of Israel, even though you're a city of Judah, because you'll protect this David guy, if that's what it takes, I have come to destroy you. That's what the Philistines were going to do. Now Saul, the king of the country, is going to destroy that very same city for David's sake. And he says, here's his question to God. He's already told what he thinks is going to happen. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up to his hand? See, he asked a couple of questions here, but he says, will the men of Keilah deliver me up? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. First of all, he didn't answer him when he delivered thee up. He said, but he will come down. God says, Saul's coming. He's coming. If you certainly stay here, he's coming. And if you certainly stay here, they will deliver you up. They're not going to sit here and say, no, Saul, you can't have him. No, these people had already got together, their chief people, and says, if Saul comes after you, we're giving you up because you're not going to cost us our house and our yards and our barns and our cows and our chickens. David, if you stay here and Saul comes, we won't fight for you. Did he just not fight for them? He just fought for them, and yet in just a matter of hours, they turned on David. If he comes after you, we'll give you up. What a bunch of friends, right? And he said, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh me to come to Keilah and destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? And, O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. There's no ands, ifs about it. He will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me? Second question. Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. And you're sitting here in the back of your mind and say, well, if God knows everything and they're going to deliver you up, then you're toast, David. But no, that's only if David stays. There wasn't no place that said, you must stay here and get captured. God didn't say that you had to stay. He said, but if you do stay, they're going to deliver you. If you do stay, they're going to hand you over. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not telling you what you need to do, David, but I'm telling you what, if you stay here, you're done. Saul's on the way, that's right. Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. What gratitude. What thankfulness. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah. That left Keilah defenseless right now. Lord had them under control, though, and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. Saul has better messenger system than we got on Marbell's telegraph.
I mean, he's no more than got out the gates good, and somebody runs up, Saul, there ain't no need coming to Keilah. There ain't no need fighting against Keilah because David ain't here. You, if you come on over here, you come if you want to, but you're just wasting your time. And, Saul says, well, if David ain't there, and he's went out to the wilderness somewhere, running around wherever he feels like going to, till I find out some better coordinates on him or whatever, we're just going to hold back up here under the trees. And he forbear to go forth. And that's Saul. And it says that David abode in the wilderness, in strongholds, and remained in the mountains, and in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. Saul didn't just say, you know, my job's to run the country. I got this David out here. He's just a little rebel with 600 guys, you know. No big deal. He's like a flea on a big dog. But instead, Saul was his mind was just totally upon David. He couldn't run the country because he was just totally involved in thinking about David. Every day, David. And he hid in the mountains, and he hid in the wilderness. He hid in Ziph, and Saul saw him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. You know, the area around them mountains and all ain't that great an area. It takes somebody like God to keep you hid when you got an army of 2,000 or 3,000 guys just combing the mountains day after day after day. And every time they run into... Have you seen David? Tell us where David is. And everybody was probably afraid to talk to this man. Every time we turn around, there's a whole pile of soldiers and they all want to know where David is. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. David understood that Saul didn't want nothing but David on a stick. He wanted him dead. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood. Now somehow Jonathan has some pretty good direction. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Jonathan made it to David. Jonathan made it through the line. Jonathan made it through where he was going. Jonathan made it right to where David was. And he says, David, I'm here to strengthen you. David, I'm here to bless you. I'm here to lift you up. I'm here to give you some courage. He says, and he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. In other words, David, I know God's watching over you. God, I know, David, I know God's protecting you, and I'm going to do my best to protect you what I can from the outskirts and make sure I get false information to my dad or whatever it takes. He said, fear not, for my father's hand will not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel. I know it. Even though he wasn't there when he was anointed. He might have been told that later by David that he'd been anointed. But he said, I know that thou shalt be king over Israel. In other words, I trust what God has told you already. I trust that you've been told you're going to be the next king. And I trust that you understand that you're going to be him. And I shall be next to thee. He didn't want a half seat with the king. He says, you be king and I'll be glad to be your second. I'll be glad to be your servant. I'll be glad to go wherever you need me to go. You're going to be the king, and I'm going to serve you, David. Jonathan says, I know you're going to be the king. I know my father's not going to prevail against you. And when you are the king, I'm going to be right there with you, David, and next unto you. And that also Saul my father knoweth. In other words, my father knoweth that when you become king, I'm going to be right there under you. That makes my dad sick. Because my dad wants me to be king, but I know you're supposed to be king. You're the one God has anointed. God has taken the kingdom from Saul. God has taken the kingdom from Saul's family. I know this. But when you become king, I'll be right there under you, David. And my father can't stand that. And they too made a covenant. Not that they didn't already have one, but they made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the woods, and Jonathan went to his house. In other words, again, they strengthened themselves in this, I'll take care of your family, you take care of my family. Wherever you go, David, my heart and my being, I'm with you 100%. Whatever you need, David, if I can do it, you got it. They made that covenant again, and they strengthened it again. And he went to his house. Which probably made Saul's daddy happy to know he's back there at the house. He can't be messing around with David nowhere. Then came up the Ziphites. The Ziphites are a part of the tribe of Judah. To Saul, to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds in the woods, in the hills of the Hachelah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? In other words, look, we know where he's at. We'll be glad to show you where he's at. They're looking for a little reward or a little something from Saul. This is, hey, Saul, doth not David hide right there in our backyard in the woods? Man, we see the smoke from his campfire from the house. We know exactly where he's at. Now therefore, O king, come down according to all thy desire and thy soul, and come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. In other words, right now we know where he's at. Saul, get your army, get your guys, get your swords, come on, and we're going to deliver David into your hand. And if they'd have went right then, he might have got it. But Saul says, go, I pray thee. Oops, I'm ahead of myself. Now therefore, according to all thy desire, go down, king in thy hand. And Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord. Again, he just stomps all over to God's name and what's going on. Blessed be you guys of the Lord. Y'all are so kind to me. Y'all are going to tell me where David is and deliver him into my hand. Boy, the Lord is good to me. Wow. He takes care of my enemies just like that. He says, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. In the last chapter, he says, nobody cares for me. Nobody's worried that David's taken over. Nobody has it. So these guys must have heard all that pity party. So we can get the king on our side. We'll go up there and tell him where David is. We'll make him get all goosebumpy and feel good, and he'll say, blessed be ye of the Lord. You have had compassion on me. Wow. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see the place where he haunts. In other words, go make double sure. Go really put your hands on it. Go and get a hold of this thing. Go and find out for absolute positive. Find the place where he haunts. Now, that ain't a ghost story, boys and girls. That's where you hang out a lot when you haunt something. You hang out there a lot. The place where he haunts. And who has seen him there? For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. In other words, David might have been on the Mount of Ziph over here today, but he might have been in the wood of Hareph tomorrow, or he might have been over in this other place the day after. David just didn't pitch him a tent somewhere and say, I'm protected, I'm in the mountains, everything's good, let's kick back, lay up, it's going to be all right, we're safe up in here. He didn't have him no cave like Alibaba did, where he could all hide with all the thieves. He says, we're not going to hide in one spot. We're going to move here, we're going to move there, we're going to move over yonder. I know that's a pain, but it keeps us alive. David didn't just stay. So Saul says, find out where he haunts. Well, the thing is, he haunts right here today, and he haunts right there tomorrow, and he haunts over yonder the next day. It's kind of hard to put a pin on top of where David's at. He says, find out where he haunts. And who's seen him? In other words, make sure who comes to tell me where you've seen him at. Make sure that guy's
really seen him. Make sure he's really laid eyes on him. Not just some hearsay. Well, yesterday I heard he was over here. Well, yesterday he ain't over there no more. So it says, he's very subtle. He's very sneaky. David don't just do things the same way every single day. That's what we do. We get used to doing the same things over and over and over. People can figure us out. They know what time we leave. They know what time we come back. The bad guys know exactly everything about us. It says here, that's a hint for you if you stick around and let the bad guys see what you're doing. But they know exactly when we're home and when we ain't. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself. In other words, don't just find the one, but find all of them. I may want to disperse my men in four or five different groups and we'll sneak up on. Find all the lurking places where he hideth himself. And come ye again to me with the certainty. In other words, be able to prove exactly where David is at right now. When you come to me this next time, I want to know that you can almost lay your hands on him. Of a certainty. The place he hideth. And come again with a certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. In other words, his anger is so kindled. If you can put your hand on him, once I get my bloodhounds on him, I will chase him to every city, every town, every place in Judah until I have got David. He will not rest. Once we get honed in on him, we're going to hound him right out of town. It says here, throughout all the thousands of Judah. In other words, there's not going to be one safe place David can hide. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon. They'd done moved. These guys have went to Ziph. They got everything lined out what they're going to do. But when they get all lined out and know what they're going to do, David's already at Maon. In the plain. He's not in a mountain anymore. He's not in the woods anymore. He's out in the plains. That's the same thing he did to Absalom. Absalom figured he'd catch him in town. But he moved out to the plain. But the battle was fought in the wood. And the wood that day killed more people than the men of God killed. That wood is some rough stuff. And they rose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David was and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain of the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him. So he's got his guys together. They're after him. They've fallen hard after him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into the rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. In other words, he's getting closer and closer and closer. He's getting it. He can almost have him in his sights now. Saul can plumb smell David. He's on him. And Saul went on this side of the mountain. Should I stop there? No. Saul went on this side of the mountain. Now, this is a pretty good mountain. Yeah. If you could go on this side, and there's a that side. So, in other words, it's big enough to hide some men that can't be seen over here from the men that are over here. And they said, and Saul went on this side of the mountain. Well, he was on the wrong side. Because David was on the other side. And David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. He had a good reason to be afraid of Saul. God had not said anything to him about, turn around and whoop him. God had never said, fight Saul. God had never said, go up against your own people. God had never told him. So David had a good reason to be running, because God had never gave him clear word that he could stand and fight.
Right.
The only thing David knows is, I've done everything upright. I've done everything I was supposed to do for my country. I've done everything I was supposed to do for my king. And my king hates me. And my king wants me dead. So he's on this side of the mountain. Saul's on that side of the mountain. And David is running and as fast as he can in fear of Saul. And Saul and his men come past David and his men round about to take him. In other words, they have David surrounded. Right now, they have David where they want him. Right now, David's toast. David is totally surrounded. And from out of nowhere, just out of nowhere, there came a messenger. Some folks say, well, maybe it was an angel or something like that. But anyways, there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. We have to make a decision. Saul's men get mad with Saul right here. We have David. All you talk about is David. There's David right there. But Saul gets this message. The Philistines have invaded the land. The Philistines are going to kill all the people. Saul's main job as king is to protect the country. He has a duty to protect the country. But there's David right there. Won't take 10 minutes, boys. We'll whoop him up. Of course, they're fighting David now. It might take a little more than 10 minutes, but I mean, right there, king. There he is, king. We have him compassed, king. But there came a messenger unto Saul saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned and pursued David. Or stopped pursuing David and went against the Philistines. Therefore, they called the place Shil-ha-amak-kakuth. And if you can say that better, go ahead. But it means Mount of Decision. Mount of Decision. Saul had to decide, do I go ahead and kill David and then go protect the country? Or do I go and protect the country? Or he had to have the decision, all of my men say, there's David, Saul. Do I risk my men getting mad at me because I want to go fight this enemy over here when I have the one right here cornered up? So right here at Shil-ha-amak-kakuth was the Mount of Decision. Right here, Saul decided the country and the people of Israel take precedence over me killing David. Right here, whichever decision he made, he left chasing David. He left falling after David, and he said, the country depends on me. What's going on depends on me. You tell me, a messenger just pops up in the middle of nowhere and says, the Philistines have invaded the land. Now, the Philistines probably got some pretty good messengers too, you know, because if Saul's always finding out where David used to be, the Philistines also know where Saul's at. They got people, yeah, Saul's off chasing David again. We can go in there and rob them a little bit, rough them up a little bit, steal some chickens and cows and some goats and head on back to the house. That Saul's so busy with David, he ain't got time to fool with us. But in this day, the Philistines have invaded the land, Saul. The Philistines have come in and they're taking stuff away, and Saul left off chasing David. And David went from thence and dwelt in strongholds in En-Gedi. David left from being right there and he says, boy, that was close. Guys, we were surrounded. Guys, Saul had us. If it had not been for God, you could have said, if it had not been for the messenger, right?
Nope.
I'm just kind of curious who sent the messenger. I mean, I'm not going to say it out loud too much. But if it had not been for the messenger, David's bunch was toast. David's bunch was surrounded. He was encompassed about. They were on the side of the mountain. They were hemmed up where they couldn't get away. And this messenger got to Saul just enough to get Saul to say, "All right, guys, I know we've come a long way. I know we got David right there, but we got bigger fish to fry than David. We got some Philistines trying to attack us." You see, David's still one of our guys. We'll catch him later. He's going to be in Judah forever. But them Philistines, we got to run them off. They're an enemy of God. David is not an enemy of God, even though he gets treated like an enemy of God. He gets treated like an enemy of Israel. But the thing is, David is not the enemy of God. But the Philistines are. So he says, "And David went from thence, and he dwelt in a stronghold in En-Gedi," which we're going to get to next week. We're going to get there. But I want you to understand the difference in Saul and the difference in David. Saul just takes everything and does it. He doesn't inquire of God. He doesn't get any permission from God. In fact, he kills all of God's people. But Saul, on one hand, he started out asking God questions a little bit, but then he got full of himself, full of pride, full of arrogancy. David, just a humble shepherd boy, has never lost touch with who his power comes from, where his power comes from. Saul, "I've got all this under control. David, Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, teach me. Lord, will they turn me over?" Yes, they'll turn you over. "Lord, if I stay here, what's going to happen?" David was always asking God. That's how we got the Psalms. If you ever read them Psalms, David's always talking to God. Even when he was in sin, when he got back to talking to God, he said, "Man, I feel so much better that I got this right. I feel so much better that I have confessed and got my fellowship back right with God." David never turned from God. He might have sinned here, he might have sinned there, but he always trusted and obeyed God. Saul, on the other hand, he threw God away. He gave up on God. He says, "I've got this." That's a good thing for us to understand as Christians. Keep trusting and obeying God. No matter how we're going through things, no matter how rough things get, always ask God. Always bring it to God. Always put it before God. That's what our prayer life is all about, is laying it out. And there's a lot of things that we pray in as a church that I wish God would just send us a written letter and say, "Here's what you need to do with this," or "Here's what you need to do with that." But until He does that, we're just going to keep praying, and we're going to keep doing what we think is best, because I don't have a clear word from God saying, "Know this or know that." So we're going to keep praying, and we're going to keep doing what Christians are supposed to do, and we're going to keep trusting that God's going to work these things out. So, I don't know how that got in there, but anyways, that's how I'm going to play it. Until I get some clear word, and then y'all are going to look at me and say, "Really? God spoke to you and said what?" Anyways, I'll be out of a job that day. Anyways, so we're going to trust God, and we're going to pray. And if you want to find out what happens in En-Gedi, I can tell you right now, but I'm going to tell you next week. Brother Ted, would you dismiss us, please?